We read together from Isaiah chapter 28. I dare say that most of you have never heard a sermon about Fitch's, cumin, and cornbread. But that's what I'm going to preach about this morning. Fitch's, cumin, and cornbread. In this chapter, this is a part of the Bible where God was about to discipline his people. We talked about that last week in Sunday school. And his purpose for disciplining his people was to get them to turn from their sin and to make them more usable to him, to accomplish what he wants to accomplish in them. And so to do that, he had Isaiah tell a story about a farmer. He started out this story the same way that Jesus started out his stories. He said, "Give ye ear and hear my voice, hearken and hear my speech." And I will tell you this morning, there's two wonderful truths in this passage of Scripture that we read. Two wonderful truths I want to share with you this morning. And I would invite you to do the same thing that Jesus invited his hearers to do, and the same thing that Isaiah invited his hearers to do. Give ye ear, hear my voice, hearken unto my speech. I want you to listen this morning. It won't do any good if you don't listen. Coming to church and not listening is like sitting down at a table and not eating. You should have just stayed home if you're not going to listen. If you're going to sit down at the table, you might as well eat. That's why you sat down for. And so I hope you'll listen this morning. I hope the Holy Spirit will help you grab a hold of these two truths and get them. The first truth has to do with sowing and planting. In verse 24, the Bible asks the question, "Does the plowman plow all day to sow?" A rhetorical question, and the answer is yes. Why else would a man spend time in a field behind a couple of oxen with a heavy plow in front of him, spending all day with the sweat of his brow if he wasn't going to plant? Why do you plow if you're not going to plant? I mean, you're wasting your time. To break up the earth without seed going in afterwards is a waste of time. And so the answer to that question is, does the plowman plow all day to sow? Absolutely. The answer is yes. Does he open and break the clods of the ground so that he can sow? Absolutely. Why else would you go after you plow and break up the clods that are there in the field? Break up the clumps of earth that need to be broken up. I was going to ask Brother Paul. Brother Paul, what do they call that thing you pull around to break up the clods? A harrow? Is that what it is? A harrow? Does anybody know, any of you farmers? A harrow. Okay, so he pulls something around to break up the... Are you guys fooling me now? You could fool me and I not know it. It's a disc. A disc? What's a harrow?
That's a rake.
Oh, it's a rake. Harrow rake? Okay, thank you. I guess you could break up clods with a rake, couldn't you? All right, forget it. So he plows the fields to open up the earth. He uses something, whatever it's called, to break up the clods. Okay? He needs to break up the clods to make it easier for the seeds to grow. In fact, the next verse says, "When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fitches and scatter the cumin and cast in the principal wheat and the appointed barley and the rye in their place?" And again, the answer to that question is absolutely. That's why he does it. That's why he plows. That's why he breaks up the clods. That's why he makes the ground smooth so that he can scatter the seeds. And he mentions some seeds in those verses so that he can scatter the seeds. Those seeds can germinate and grow. And so again, we see a farmer here that's preparing the ground. He opens it up so the seeds can get in. He breaks up the clods so that they can germinate. He makes it smooth so it's easy for the seeds to grow. And he scatters the seeds in their appointed place. You see, a good farmer knows his dirt. He knows his soil. He knows the kind of ground that it is. Is it sandy? Is it clay? Is it good soil? Is it poor soil? And because he knows the soil, he knows what kind of seeds to plant in that soil. He knows the kind of crops that will do best in that soil. And so as he scatters the seeds, he does that with discretion. He does that with knowledge. He puts the seeds in the ground that he knows has the best chance of nurturing those seeds and making that crop grow. Now, I would submit to you this morning that that little story, the first truth that's in the first of two truths that's in this passage of Scripture that we read, the first of the two truths is the story of this farmer paints a wonderful picture of how God scatters the gospel seed. He plows. He opens up our hearts and our minds. In some way or another, he gets our attention so the gospel seed can enter our hearts and our minds. He's got to break up the ground. He's got to break up our old worldly attitudes. He's got to break up our worldly perspective. And so he runs the plow in our life to open up our life so the seeds can get in. He breaks up the clods, the things in our life that would keep those seeds from growing, the things in our life that would distract us from the truth of the gospel, distract us from the truth that we're all sinners, distract us from the truth that there's a penalty for that sin, distract us from the truth that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for that sin. And so he plows, and then he does something to break up the clods and makes the ground smooth so that the seeds of the gospel can grow. I want you to notice something. In the parable or the story of the farmer, the ground does nothing. It does nothing. It's the farmer that plows. It's the farmer that breaks up the clods. It's the farmer that plants the seeds. The same thing is true in salvation. We do nothing. It is God that opens up our lives to receive the seed. It is God that takes those things out of our lives so that we can not be distracted from the truths of the gospel. It is God that makes the ground smooth so that seed can grow. And just like the wise, and by the way, if you're saved this morning, you did nothing to get saved. God did everything. The Bible says, for by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The only thing we had to do was take it. The only thing we had to do was receive it. Jesus Christ did everything else on Calvary's cross when he says, it is finished. That's what he meant. Nothing needs to be added to it. You don't add to salvation by joining a church. You don't add to salvation by taking communion. You don't add to salvation by getting baptized. Jesus finished it all on Calvary's cross, and all we got to do is take it for ourselves. And just like a wise farmer knows which seeds to plant in which soil, so a wise God knows what seeds to plant in our life. You say, preacher, is there a different gospel seed? No. Same seed for all. The gospel doesn't change by person, but the way the Lord plants it does change. Sometimes he will use the consistent example of a mom and a dad to plant the gospel seed in a child's life. Sometimes he will use the love of a grandparent and the old crooked finger of a grandma to plant the gospel seed in a person's life. Sometimes he'll use a Sunday school teacher and a Sunday school lesson to get that gospel seed into a person's life. Sometimes he'll use a gospel song. Sometimes he'll use a sermon about the judgment of God, a sermon about hell, to get the gospel seed. And again, many, many people have been saved listening to sermons about hell, and I don't understand why preachers today don't preach more about hell. It hasn't changed. It's still there. It's still the eternal destination of every single person that rejects Jesus Christ. But God, in his wisdom, uses different things to get the gospel seed into our life, because the truth is, God wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to be saved. His plan is for everybody to come and to know Jesus as their personal Savior. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so this morning, you're here and you're not saved. You've never asked Jesus to be your Savior. Let me tell you some things that are probably going on in your life. There may be a plow going up and down your life right now. It's breaking you open. It's opening the ground, so to speak, so God can get the seed in. Maybe he's there and you feel a little pounding in your life because he's breaking up the clods. He's breaking up those things that might keep the seed from taking root. Maybe he's just smoothing the ground. Or maybe this morning he's scattering the seed. And he knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly what will reach you. He knows exactly what the Holy Spirit can use to get your attention, to pay attention to the gospel. If you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I can't think of a better day to do it than today. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Today's the day of salvation. July 21st, 2013, 11:50 in the morning. It can be your time. I mean, you don't have to wait till the invitation. You can do it right now, right where you're set. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I know there's a penalty for that sin. I believe Jesus paid the price. And this right now, dear God, dear Jesus, save me. And if you'll pray a prayer like that, he'll save you right now. Right now, at this instant, salvation is not a process. It's an instantaneous action taken by God in answer to a sinner's prayer. And he'll do that for you this morning if you ask him. Now, there's a second truth that's in this passage of Scripture, a truth directed to Christians. The crop grows. It's time to harvest it. It's time for the crop to be used. And by the way, the same thing is true of Christians. God didn't just save us to save us. He just didn't save us so that he could take us to heaven. I mean, we're going to go to heaven because we are saved, but he has a plan for each of our lives. He wants to use us as vessels after we get saved. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, after the Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works any man should boast." It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And so he's got a purpose for each person, a plan for each purpose, a person. He wants to use us in building his kingdom and spreading the gospel and sharing our Christianity. Now, for a farmer to use his crop, he has to get it out of the husk. He has to get it. He has to thresh it. I know I'm speaking to a bunch of farmers. I hope I'm using the right words. I'm sure I'll hear about it if I'm not. But he has to get the crops out of the husk. He has to thresh it. And these verses that we read talk about how the different crops are threshed. In verse 27, "For the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cartwheel turned about upon the cumin, but the fitches are beaten out with a staff, and the cumin with a rod." And then it says in the next verse that bread corn is bruised. So let me just tell you the truth that's in these verses. And again, it's a truth to Christians. It's a truth that displays what God is doing in our lives right now. The fitches is an annual herb. They grow in plants that are about 1 to 2 feet tall. They have finely cut leaves and blue flowers. And what fitches are like poppy seeds. They are used to sprinkle on bread, for example. They have no taste, but it's like a decoration. It makes the bread look good. Now, cumin, it comes from a pinkish white flower. And cumin is used to flavor food. So fitches is a decoration. Cumin is a spice that adds flavor to food. And everybody here knows what cornbread is. Amen. We're just a bunch of hillbillies at heart. Cornbread, that's the staple part of the meal. I mean, you know, meat, potatoes, and beans. It's not complete without some cornbread. Amen. Glory to God. The bread corn is threshed with a cartwheel. Okay? I'm getting ahead of myself. So that's what a fitch is. That's what cumin is. That's what bread corn is. Now, to thresh them, the farmer in this story uses different things. Fitches, to get the seed out of the husk, they beat them with a stick, a staff. They're delicate. You use them to decorate. So you would not beat them with a bit rod, but just a little stick. You wouldn't run the wheel of your cart over them to thresh them. You'd break them. So you usually use a little stick. Cumin is a little hardier. It's not for decoration. It's for flavor. So the Bible says that the farmer beats that with a rod. Not a stick, but a rod. Stick's a little small stick, rod's a little bigger stick, okay? So you beat the you pound the fitches with a stick, you beat the cumin with a rod, and the bread corn is a little heavier, so you run the cartwheel over that. So the farmer, after he harvests his crop, uses a different instrument to get the crop out of the husk so that it's usable. I would submit to you this morning that God does the same thing to us. He's got to get the world out of us so that he can use us. We've been saved. We've been born again. But there's some things in our life that he has to get out in order for us to be usable for him. And so he threshes us. He uses some different things to get the world out of our life so that we'll be usable. Now, if he wants us to be a decoration, all right, he'll give us a little threshing. You see, God needs some fitches. He needs some Christians that live the Christian life so that it looks good to other people, so that it is appealing to other people, so that people can see it and say, boy, I don't know what that guy wants, but or what that guy has, but whatever he has, that's what I want. I mean, I see him live his life. It looks like a good life. It looks like he's content. It looks like he has peace. And again, I don't know what it is, but I can see it in how he lives his life, and so I want what he has. God needs some Christians that will do that, that will live their life in such a way. Most Christians, if we're not careful, will go around looking like our cat died. Hey, all you cat lovers, I throw you a bone now. Pay attention. I usually say bad things about cats. But I would be sad if my cat died. Yeah, forget it. But most of us go around like Christians. We look like we've lost our best friend. I mean, we got a frown on our face. Nobody knows that we belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Nobody knows that we've been purchased from hell to go to heaven. It ought to show up on the outside. We ought to have some fitches as Christians that live their life in such a way that said, hey, that guy's content. That guy has peace. I don't know what he's got, but I want some. And if God wants us to be a fitch, he takes a little stick and he beats us a little bit. He's got to get some things out of our life. He's got to get the world out of our life so that we can make the Christian life look good. Now, there's other times that God needs some spice, that God needs something that's a little bit stronger than a decoration. He needs a spice like cumin. And by the way, I just want to tell you, I'm not much for decoration on food. Just so you know. I mean, I've gone to these places where they put these little parsley, things on top of stuff, and they got the food arranged so it's pleasing, to the eye and all that stuff. If you ever have me over for dinner, don't worry about that stuff. Just slop it on the plate, man. I'll eat it. I don't care how it looks. I'll eat it. So anyhow, but some people like that kind of stuff. And if you're like that, if you're a person like that, I'm not, saying anything against you in any way. Food's not to be looked at. It's to be eaten. Amen. All right. But there are times when God needs a fitch. There are times when God needs some cumin to add spice to life. I mean, spice by itself is not good. But when it's mixed together in the right proportion, it produces a good result. Now, a cumin's job is tougher than fitches. All fitches has to do is look good. Cumin's got to provide the flavor. Cumin's got to be able to say, look, it's not just decoration. It's what goes on. It's the actions that you take. It's living it. I mean, there are people that are only going to see what it looks like. There are other people that are going to see what it really is. The people that don't live with you will only see what it looks like. The people that live with you see what it really is. They need to know that it's real. They need to know that there are that there is flavor in the Christian life, that regardless of the sour things that come into our life, that God is good. So for cumin, you have to take a little bit more threshing. It's not just a stick, it's a rod. And God has to beat the husk off. He has to get the world out so that he can use us. And then quickly, we come to the cornbread. You know, part of the main part of the meal. It's not a decoration. It's not a spice. It's the substance. Now, God needs fitches. He needs cumin, but he also needs some cornbread, some bread corn. He needs some people that can go through the valleys, like the Vaughn sang about a moment ago, that can go through the valleys of life and hold on to the hand of God. Stand on that solid rock. Throw out their anchor. And regardless of how the wind blows, regardless of how the waves beat, regardless of how deep the valley is, they can hang on to God and show the world that God is real. And show the world that God never leaves us or forsakes us. Now, if you're going to be bread corn, it's not just a stick. It's not just a rod. It's the cartwheel. Because your job's tougher. It's cornbread. Your job's tougher. And so he's got to get more of the world. I mean, if you're just going to be a decoration, he's got to get a little bit of the world out. If you're going to be cumin, if you're going to be a spice, he's got to get a little bit more out. But if you're going to be cornbread, he's got to get a lot out. He's got to get a lot out. So it takes the cartwheel. Okay, that's my introduction. I have 4 points. You know, some of you have told me, said, "Preacher, don't worry about what time it is, just preach." I have 4 points. I'll make them quickly. Number one, be what God wants you to be. He may want you to be a fitch. He may want you to be a cumin. He may want you to be cornbread. If it was up to us, because of the threshing that's involved, we'd all pick to be fitches, because that's the easier threshing. I mean, if cornbread involves running the cartwheel over my life and putting me in those valleys and trying me and trying me and trying me to get all that stuff out of my life, if you leave it up to me, I'll pick to be a fitch. I can handle the stick. I don't want the rod. I don't want the cartwheel. But it's not up to me. It's not up to you. It's up to God. He gets to decide how he uses us. That's why it says in the book of Romans, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is reasonable," which is your reasonable service. So be what God wants you to be. Number two, you got to be threshed. You can't be what God wants you to be without some threshing. Maybe a little bit, maybe a little bit more, maybe a lot. It won't be pleasant. At times it will hurt. At times it will be a heartbreak. At times it will feel like your world's falling apart. But if you're going to be used of God, you have to be threshed. Number three, it's the same hand that holds the stick, the rod, and the cartwheel. And that hand is nail-scarred. That hand is the hand of the one who has gone before us. That hand belongs to the one who has experienced everything that we need to experience to be used of God. That hand belongs to the one who knows us and who knows what it is in our life that needs to be eliminated before he could use us. And number four, he won't break us. He won't break us. Because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheels of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. God knows what we need. He knows what we can handle. He knows exactly what he needs to bring in our life, into our life, to get those things out so that he can use us. And he won't break us. Again, it may seem like at times that we're on the verge of breaking. It may seem like at times that the last straw is on our back and one more is going to break us. God knows that. He says, "I won't break you. I know what's required. I know what you can handle. I know what it's going to take for you to be usable." So this morning, If you're not saved, if you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, He's either plowing, He's breaking up the clods, He's smoothing the ground, or He's casting in the seed. This morning, would you receive it? That seed is the Lord Jesus Christ. That seed is the gospel seed. That seed is salvation. Would you receive it? The Bible says, but as many as received Him, Jesus Christ, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. And if there's just one person here this morning that's never asked Jesus to be your Savior, that's what you need to do right now. Right? I'm not asking you to become a Baptist. I'm not asking you to join this church. I think those are pretty good things. But you don't need to do either of those until you ask Jesus to save you. That's the main thing that you need to do right now. Right now. If you're a Christian, like most of us are, then realize you can't be used until you're threshed. Be what God wants you to be. And by the way, sometimes He wants me to be a fish. Sometimes He wants me to be cumin. Sometimes He wants me to be the cornbread. And so He has to thresh. Sometimes it's a stick. Sometimes it's a rod. Sometimes it's the cartwheel. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it's hard. But if I'm going to do what God wants me to do, I got to let Him thresh me. I got to let Him get those things out of my life that hinder me from doing what He wants me to do, and so do you. It's the nail-scarred hand that does the threshing, and He won't break us. So why don't we just say, I submit my body, a living sacrifice. Use me. I'll take the threshing, but use me. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the lessons that it teaches. I pray if there's those here this morning, just one, that doesn't know for sure they're on their way to heaven, doesn't know for sure that Jesus is their Savior, that right now, Father, they'd put everything else out of their heart and mind. They would understand that they're a sinner and there's a penalty for that sin. Jesus on the cross paid that penalty. And if they receive Him, if they believe on Him, like Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer, if they believed on Him, they could be saved this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would help them make that decision. And then, Father, I pray for the Christians that are here. Help us to be that living sacrifice. Help us to give ourselves to You and say, I belong to You. I'm Yours. Use me however You desire. Knowing, Father, that with that comes the threshing. With that comes the process to get those things out of our life so that You can use us. Help us to make that decision today, if we haven't made it, to say, Lord, here I am. Send me. Here I am. Use me. Father, I ask You to bless this invitation. Help us to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit says and how He leads. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.